prophecy update, the wicked and the wise. So as we look there together, we're going to get into this, but I want to set it up this way. Some of you like movies, some of you don't like movies, or maybe you're looking for the new Hollywood blockbuster, that one, that sequel, or that one's coming out. And then, you know, sometimes, have you ever been with somebody and somebody spoiled the end of the movie for you?
Yeah.
Like, yes. You're like, really? Oh, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you a tool today. Are you ready for this? I'm going to help you spoil their movie for them. I want you to write this down. www.themoviespoiler.com. It's a real thing. I looked it up, which I don't, you know, if I go to a movie, how many of you want to know the ending? I don't want to know. I like the suspense. But my wife says, well, you do like suspense, but you also like Hallmark. And like, there's nothing suspenseful about a Hallmark. We know they're going to fall in love. The whole thing's going to be about this. And so there's no spoiler alerts, I don't think, for Hallmark movies. But you know, our God has already told us what the end's going to be. He's already let us know. Now, the unbelieving world is running around confused, and they don't know what the end is, or they're dreading that, or they're scared, but we can know, because I know this. We are all characters in God's story. All of us. We play a part in God's redemptive story. God's got a plan for us. So let's set it up this way. In the end, fill in the first blank. In the end, the bad guys get reproved. The bad guys get reproved. Something happens to them, and we'll see what happens here in Scripture. And as you look at this section here, if you'll turn in your Bibles over to Daniel chapter 11, and then we'll go over to 12, main passage 12, 1 through 13, and you begin to see this section 336 B.C. thereabout. But in chapter 11, verse 36, then the king will do as he pleases, exalting himself and claiming to be greater than any other god, even blaspheming the God of gods, and he will succeed, but only until the time of wrath is completed, for what has been determined will surely take place. What is he talking about? I talked about this when I did the prophecy series a few months ago. You know who this is? That's the Antichrist. That's right. Very good. You can leave now. You got bonus point. No. It's the Antichrist. No. Bob's, you didn't have the answer. She did. Okay. Here. But the Antichrist. So when you look at this, we look, when we read the Scripture, we look prophetically, and God has given us the Holy Spirit when we're in Christ, and we can understand, and we have wisdom, and we have discernment, we have insight. So we read because we have the Spirit to teach us. But here he talks about this one is going to speak against God and his power to overcome the nations, and he's going to create a pseudo-peace type time, and he will broker peace with these nations that have been at war, and it will seem like, oh, it's all good. But if you read Scripture, it's really not all good, is it, church? Because it's all fixing to break loose. I mean, it's all fixing to get really bad. So we look at here, in the end, they really do get what's coming to them, the prophecy. But look at verse 37. It says, he exalts himself. Now, a lot of people go, the Antichrist, who is he? We don't know exactly. We know the spirit of the Antichrist has been unleashed in the world. But the Antichrist, this one, we don't know yet. He probably will be a background of a Jew. I don't know. Some have even said, There's a scripture that talks about he won't desire women or whatever, so maybe there'd be some homosexuality in that. I don't know. Some have said, hey, this is the Antichrist. This person isn't. This leader will, and even in some of my studies said, this leader will even come out of the Roman Catholic Church. I don't know where he's going to come out of, but I know that he's going to come, and he's going to broker peace, and it's going to seem good for a season, but it's not. And the church said, our God's in control. That's the good news of the gospel, that God gets all this. And you look through 11, 37, 38, 39, and he says, there'll come a day when the rule of the strongest nations of the world, the military structures, they'll come and oppose one another, and this glory of Satan will seem to manifest in this person or this power called the Antichrist, but we know it's only short-lived. I'm so grateful for that. So when you read a lot of this, and it talks about for 3.5 years, and then halfway through the tribulation, then it just all kind of breaks loose. And of course, I've shared with you, my position is I'm a pre-trib, and it seems like most of you were. And if you aren't, hey, there's no reason to leave the church, because, hey, if I am wrong, I do know this, my God will be with me, and the church said. Amen. Now, and some people are like, well, I want to be a mid-trib. I want to be a post-trib. That's fine. If you want to go through the tribulation, you have at it, okay? I think scripturally I can prove to you why I am a pre-trib and why I believe that the church is taken out of and that we come back and that Christ raptures us and that we come back with him, because after Revelation chapter 3, you don't see the church. And the church is the gathered redeemed, the gathered elect. It's us. Aren't you glad to be in part of that party? Amen. And I'm amazed how many people want to fight about, I'm a post-tribulationist. I want to go through it. I'm like, have you read your Bible? You really want to go through that? Now, I know about the 144,000 that will be like supercharged Jewish evangelists that will be proclaiming the gospel during that very hard time, and some will come to faith during Christ. But I personally, I want to come back with King Jesus. How about you? That's where I want to be. But I know you're saying, but Pastor, I watched the, I can't believe I just forgot. He sold 9 million zillion copies of his books. And we all watched them, and everybody's out, huh? Yeah, Left Behind. And there was probably some liberties taken in there. But there was a lot of truth and a lot of prophecy. I'm not trying to be a spoiler alert. Don't worry about it. All right. So listen to this. In Revelation, just write down Revelation 13:15. And basically it talks about demonic spirits that are working miracles counterfeit to all the rulers of the world against that great day of judgment that God says. And then he talks about 666, and he talks about how we'll be credentialed, or however, or maybe, I don't, today we really understand, like, it might be a chip. I mean, like, hey, Doc, I'm so glad you just walked in. You gave me a great illustration when I thought about that, because she's a veterinarian. In your practice, although she probably should see some of us, in your practice, I bet you have a lot of animals that are chipped, right? Yeah. And how many of you have been chipped in the room? Raise your hands. You see, you haven't. But do you see, when we've heard all this, that maybe one day there will be a chip, a mark of the beast? You have to see how this is more real. You got to read. When you're reading prophetically and you're reading the scripture, and when they spoke it thousands of years ago, did you know, I know y'all don't know this was not created yet. Can you imagine if the Apostle Paul or Daniel had an iPad and he could have said, Google, can you give me a description of what I just saw? He was doing the best he could. And a lot of times we're like, well, why wasn't he more descriptive? I mean, how many of you use Google in this room when you don't know something? I use it all the time. Don't you wish we had it about 20 years ago? Wouldn't that have been fun? Like, oh, yeah, I don't know. What did we do 20 years ago, 25, 30, 40 years ago when we didn't know something? We remained dumb. We looked it up in our encyclopedias that were copyright 1956. Or we did what? We called somebody. Or we went to university because we know they had all the truth and all the right answers. Not. Do you think the university, and they are higher powers of learning, and great things happen at university, and of course I've been to a lot of school, I like that, but there's a lot of schooling that corrupts a lot of great people. How many of you believe that? I still remember when I went off to seminary, and people told me this, do not, I remember that I had more people say, Pastor, Keith, do not let them mess you up. What? I'm going to seminary. They study the Bible. And when I got there and I got my first super big time liberal professor that tried to discount the miracles, I went, oh my goodness. I could not believe. I was older when I'd gone back, and I was glad that I had such a great foundation. Can you imagine a really young mind that hadn't really been formed and really formed his convictions, and these higher power academic professors are trying to teach you? You realize that's what's happening all across America today? And do you think it's getting better or worse? Have you flipped on your news channel lately? Are you concerned about what's happening on the university campuses all across America? Are you praying for university campuses? Yes. If you're not, we should be praying for them. All right, so we're going through this, like, Pastor, I like this. All right, so he talks about, in the end, the bad guys get reproved, okay? Let me give you a passage. Write down Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True. I love that title, Faithful and True. And in his righteousness, he judges and makes war. And at the end of all good stories, there's a great ending here. So what happens? The bad guys get punished. The skies open. The Lord Jesus, he comes. He comes on a white horse. He comes with his tribe, with us, the redeemed in Christ. But in the end, God will get what? He'll get victory, and he'll get his way. And a lot of times we say, oh, I want to be vengeful. Look, no, you don't. The Lord says, whose is my vengeance? Is whose? Is the Lord's. The Lord makes it all right. I don't want my friends to perish. I don't want people that I don't want them to be destroyed for all eternity and burn in hell forever. I mean, that's sick on my part. So Lord, they get reproved, they get their way. Look at the second one. The distressed get rescued. Now, this is kind of a good thing. So let's flip over to, we're running through Daniel 11. Now let's progress to the next chapter, the final chapter of Daniel 12. At that time, Michael, the archangel, who stands against guard over your nation, will arise, and then there will be a time of anguish greater than any since nations first came into existence. But at that time, every one of your people whose name is written in the book will be... Yours says delivered, mine says rescued. Would you circle that word in your Bible? Is that not good news for those redeemed in Jesus Christ? We get delivered. We get rescued. We have hope. Lord, you've already told us because our names are recorded, our names are what? Written in the book of life. You know, there's one book you want to be in, and that's the book you want to be. You want to be in God's book. God, please let our names be found there. You know, sometimes in my prayer time, I'll be on my knees and I'll be praying, and sometimes it'll just come to me, and I get overwhelmed about the goodness of the Father. And that my name, by grace and mercy, is recorded in the Father's book. And at that time, when I used to get my full name, it meant I was in trouble. If I heard Thomas Keith Waldrop, it meant, get your fanny in here now, and you're going to get talked to. And then the other times I heard Thomas Keith Waldrop was at a graduation or something formal, but in here, I'm in my prayer times, and I'll just go, I use my whole name. And I just go, Lord, to be in your book, to be redeemed. Isn't that the book you want to be in? I mean, that's the one. If you're in every other book and you miss that book, man, that's sad. That's a bad commentary. So we read this scripture and it says, but they're rescued. Verse 2, many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life. Wow, I like that hope. But some to what? Shame and everlasting disgrace. Those who are wise, all right, let's stop there. Circle the word wise. I'm setting you up. I've been trying to get you to read Proverbs with me. Proverbs is known as the wisdom literature of God's word. If you want to get wise, if you want to get understanding, be a part and read God's word. And the church said, and read it. And I encourage you to read Proverbs. And that's how we become. This morning when I was reading Proverbs 5. And I encourage you tonight before you go to bed. Here's my assignment. Before you go to sleep today or tonight, read Proverbs 5. I think God will have a word for you. Okay. But look what he says. Those who are wise will what? They'll go dull. That's not what it says. It says, those that are wise will shine as bright as the sky. And those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. How many of you love to go out into the country where you're away from the city lights and you look up into the heavens and you see the display of the stars? Is that not one of the most majestic scenes that you can ever see? Oh, okay, y'all are from Colorado, brand new. I bet you've had some pretty nights in Colorado. Yeah, okay, yeah. You know, the mountain ranges, and look up, and you see these incredible galaxies, and you see the stars. I mean, I remember one time I was speaking outside of Houston. I was doing this big youth retreat, and they took me back in the woods. At first, I was a little scared, like, are they going to kill me back here? But that night, I remember getting up and going out, and it was so dark. And I got to tell you, even as a guy that used to lift a lot of weights, I know, just use your imagination, but I used to. And now I just play pickleball. But I remember, you know, I didn't really get scared. But even to this day, at 65, if I come into a house that's pitch black and nobody's home and it's super quiet in the neighborhood, everywhere else, there's a little bitty part in me. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little bit scared. And I look around like where our church used to sit. When we first built our church on Ryan Road, we were in the country. And it was real dark out there. And Donna, one time she came to me, because I used to love going there on Saturday nights, and I'd pray for y'all. I'd go to the altar, and I'd do my last review, and then I'd come home. And Donna, I remember one day she goes, "Baby, we need to talk." I said, "What?" She goes, "I don't like you going out to the church at night." I said, "Why?" I said, "It's so quiet. It's just me and the Father." And I said, "I'm prepared." She goes, "I know, I know. I love that you love God. I love that you love it." She goes, "But I'm concerned something's going to happen to you, and I won't know about it till the next morning." And then it kind of messed me up the next time I went out there. I thought, well, you know, woman is smarter than I am. Maybe prophetically, maybe. And then one day, I never will forget this. The man that lives behind us, remember Miss Bertha that came to our church for a little while? Her husband, he was a retired Marine. And the first time I ever met him, he drove up in his old pickup, and his hood was chained together. And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, hey, I'm the pastor. We just built the church right in front of it." "Yeah." And I thought, well, I'm hitting it over good with him. He goes, "Oh, you come out here at night?" I go, "Yes, sir, I do come out here sometimes at night." He goes, "All right." Yeah, I mean, that's all right. And then I looked down on his seat and I saw a pistol sitting there. I went, "Oh, crud." He looked at me and says, "I got you back." I went, "Whoa, Mr. Smothers." You know, he was looking out for me. I don't even know if he was a believer. Boy, his wife, she could pray up heaven and paint off the wall. But I love that. I think he was a Marine too. And he was just looking out for me, you know. But God rescues us. He says, "Shine, tribulation saints." He says, "Saints of God, be wise." Here'd be an application. Be wise, and by your life and by your words and by your witness, turn many to righteousness. Point them to the Savior. Proclaim the excellent name of Jesus to them, that they might know in which they can put their faith in him and be saved. So, Lord, we're great for that. Here it is, Romans 20:15. "And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." Remember we talked about the book a minute ago? Here's the outcome for those that don't believe in Jesus. They don't trust him. They don't walk with him. They don't abide. They never receive eternal life in the Savior. And that is the saddest commentary for me. So, Lord, you are for us, and we cry out to you, and you deliver us. All right, look at the third. Move quickly. I got a lot I want to cover with you. The truth is revealed here in Daniel. And this truth is revealed because he talks about in here, if you look down here at verse 4, "But you, Daniel, keep this prophecy a secret. Seal up the book until the time of the end, and then many will rush here and there, and the knowledge will increase." Knowledge will increase. I just want you to notice, has knowledge increased in our lifetime? Off the chart. Knowledge used to increase about every century, it would double. You know what the latest study showed me? Every 12 hours, knowledge doubles on the planet because of AI and all the other things. Every 12 hours. Y'all just tell me right now, no reason I'm so tired. Is it not overwhelming? I think about the amount of information that I take in now in a day or have the access to. Sometimes, do y'all ever get overwhelmed? I talked about anxiety last week. Do y'all ever get overwhelmed because there's so much that comes to you? It's like drinking out of a fire hydrant. Have you ever tried drinking out of one of those? It didn't work. It'll knock you down. I tried. I was in Chicago one time on an inner city impact mission trip, and they opened up the water faucets for kids because they didn't have pools. And I remember this little kid said, "Oh, this is fun." And he went running up to it. And when it hit him, it blew him back. And then I had some teenagers, and you know how smart teenagers are. And he ran up to it, and he stuck his face in it and about took his face off too. Although we have a new teenager in the house. Do we have he's 13 today. Hey, hold your hand up. 13 today. Oh, wait a minute. Wrong one. Yeah, there you go. Oh, that's your little brother. Yeah, man. Awesome. Man, it gets better. Yeah, okay. All right, 13. All right, here we go. All right, let's keep going. All right, so he says here, search for knowledge. And so there's going to be more and more knowledge opportunities for us. And the truth is always revealed in God's word. But we have an opposer. We have an opposition. And he opposes the truth of God. And there's a lot of counterfeit gospels. There's a lot of counterfeit truths that try to come against us every day, do they not? That's why it's important that you and I get grounded in the word of God daily, that we can fight the fight effectively. I promise you, I'm amazed how many, I'm not going to name them, but there are a lot of great churches that I thought were phenomenal 10 years ago that have gone extremely woke. They've gone extremely liberal. They've gone with a false gospel. They've gone with another message. They've shifted their focus. That's scary, isn't it, church? I mean, I'm talking about some strong evangelical churches I could call out. And I'm just like, wow. And it's like, well, we think there's a better way. We think there's a new nuance on that. We think we maybe missed the truth of the gospel. Oh, man, Lord, please let us be committed to your word. So he talks about here, the remnant cries out, though, and they're saved. All right, let me just move. I could run all through this forever, but I won't. All right, so down there about verse 8, I heard what he said. I did not understand what he meant, so I asked, how will all this finally end, my Lord? Well, you can imagine here, he's prophetically getting this word, didn't totally understand it. In verse 90, but he says, now go down, Daniel, for what I have said is kept secret and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, cleansed, and refined by these trials, but the wicked will continue in their wickedness, and none of them will understand. Only those who are wise will know what it means. The wicked will continue, will endure in wickedness. Does that sound like 2024 or what? Yes. Yeah. Do y'all see that wickedness is decreasing or increasing in America? It's on a super increase. And the sad thing is it's even starting to pick off some of the church if they're not solid in Christ. So Lord, we want to be wise. We want to be the wise people. We want to be the wise guy, if you will. Revelation 22:11, write it down. Let the one who is doing harm continue to do no harm or to do harm. Let the one who is vile continue to be vile. Let the one who is righteous continue to live righteously. Let the one who is holy continue to be holy and do not have the Spirit of God. So if we are in Christ and we call ourselves holy because God says we need to be holy, then let's continue in the work of Christ. Amen? And if we are in wickedness, I ask you today, don't continue in it. Repent of it. Change course. And that's the good news about God. You can always come home. You can always come back to him. I mean, has anybody fallen off the saddle this week in some area where you just felt, man, I can't get victory over a sin? You know what the good news of the Father is? Come. Come to me. You're tired. You're weary. You're fatigued. You're anxious. You're concerned. You're confused. You're disgruntled. You're mad. You're angry. Have I named any emotion? Have I named anything in here that anybody could identify with but me? The Lord says, come. He calls his children to come to him. Man, what a father we have. All right, so we keep going here. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive the truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them. They can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. When we have the resident Holy Spirit in us, we have the ultimate teacher to dwell, to teach us all manner of righteousness. Are y'all glad for the teacher that resides in you? I am. I have truth. You have truth in Christ. If you don't have Christ, that's why we get so upset with pagans and with the lost world. They're just doing what they know to do and what their flesh commands them to do. They can't do any better. They don't have the Spirit of Christ. They've not been born again. They've not been revived. They've not been rekindled. They've not been touched by God, but they can be. So they're just living that out. So we should really have compassion. What did Jesus do when he saw sinners? He rebuked them all, and he threw rocks at them. He told them, right, I don't have any. That's not what the gospel says. What did Jesus do all these? I mean, when you read the New all the scripture, read the New Testament, what's Jesus doing with these serious sinners hanging around? He's inviting them to dinner. He's inviting them to come hang out with him. Little Zacchaeus, little wicked man. What did he tell Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, jump out of the tree and break your neck. Is that what he told Zacchaeus? He said, Zacchaeus, come down. And that wee little man in that sycamore tree, it's not like I'm going to do a song. I'm not. He came down. I remember years ago when he did a television show, I called the message, Donald Trump in a tree. Zacchaeus. I remember that. And now I've prayed for that man so much, and we need to pray for him. We need to pray. Okay, I'm going to get too political. But I'm just saying, we have a mess in America, and I think everybody said, amen. We need the Lord. We need hope. Hey, just what I keep telling y'all, keep looking up. Keep looking where? Keep looking to heaven. Keep your eyes on it. My redemption? Yeah. That's a King James Version. My redemption draweth nigh. near. I know some of those words in the King James, but we memorize them, we learn them, and they're true to us. But thou cometh noweth and goeth for luncheth tomorrowth. Huh? What are you talking? Hey, you want to have some grub tomorrow? Yeah, okay, all right. I'm sorry, I got to get back to the text. I'm gonna get in trouble. All right, so here it is. So he talks about being sealed to the end. 1 Corinthians 13:9, now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only a part of the whole picture. But in the very end, Christ will reveal it, what? Completely. Do y'all not look forward to when the end of the movie comes and Christ reveals everything? Yes. And we are found in him. That's the hope of Christians. All right, look at the fourth quickly. Heroes are rewarded. Heroes are rewarded. All right. Before that, he talks about, the time period. He talks about halfway through the tribulation. But at verse 13, as for you, your way until the end, go your way until the end. You will rest, and then at the end of your days, you will rise again. Circle that, rise again. That's the hope. You will rise again to receive the inheritance set aside for you. That's what God has for us, an inheritance for the redeemed. So here's the thing. All your days serve the Lord. Joshua would say this, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That used to hang on when we lived over in Brighton many years ago, we used to have that on our door. I think it's Joshua 24:15. Am I right? If not, it's close. All right. I'm the address. Y'all get a little harder on addresses as you get older. Used to, I could just tell you every, scripture. Now I go, that's about the third chapter, but I think it's 24:15. But it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But here, I just encourage you and me to serve the Lord all the days of your life, to be under his authority, okay? Now, let me just throw this out. So you look down here. Here's what I want you to write down, two thoughts that I know. Point A, the Lord knows all things because he is omnipotent and he is omnipresent and he is omniscient. Remember when I did that series on the omni, and God knows everything. So the Lord knows all. And the second thing is, and I love this thought, man, this right here made me get up this morning, Pat. The Lord is in control. So right now, you don't have to worry about Washington. You don't have to worry about everything else. You can pray for it. You certainly need to do that. But at the end of the day, the Lord is in control of our lives, and he's in control of this world, and he walks with us, and he will never abandon the redeemed. And that gives you confidence and peace for the journey called life, because we're going to go through times where we really have lost confidence. We've lost stability. We've lost our way. We look back to the Lord, and he rewards us for our faith in him. And so, but here's what I'm concerned about. The church in the world is caving in for ideologies of this world. Would y'all agree with me today? And in the last 4 years, it seems like it's just jumped increasingly, like how for the quest for knowledge has increased. I think the quest for all these ideologies, and it's just gotten, it's all out of touch. And I started not to say a lot of this because I don't want to be political. I want to be Jesus. Amen? But I don't want to stick my head in the mud. I want you to be aware, and you are aware. So here's just a couple comments I think are helpful about ideologies. This one has been controversial over the days, but if you go back and read their manifesto, you will see that it was really a wicked document. And it was the whole Black Lives Matter. Do you know what I'm talking about, church? It sounds like Black Lives Matter. Can I just tell you? Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, Asian Lives Matter, all lives matter to the Father. Amen? Amen. But behind that was really a Marxism focus, and it was corruption, and it wasn't the answer that people thought it was going to provide, wokeism. I mean, look what that did. Look what it did to Budweiser. I mean, they're trying to undo that. Target, Disney, all that, and then the church gets sucked into it. And here's the one, let me tell you, this right here, this thing we're pushing now in America, gender-affirming care. Church, I just got to tell you, Pastor, I love all people, but there are two sexes, and they are male and female. Amen. Amen. That's what God created. And all this, I mean, you can go to some things now and fill out stuff like, what gender are you? There's 32 boxes. 32, I only need two. There's only two. The Lord has spoken. The Lord has given us truth. Church, we need to go, you know what? Hey, I love you, and you think you want to be this, but this is who you are. That's the way God... Here's what I want to say. Do you think God made a mistake? No. Our God is perfect. You know, we're a pro-life church in the biggest way around here. And man, you know, we want to do it God's way here. So, God, help us find your way. I could go on and on about a lot of this. Here's what I know about some of these manifestos and things. They want to disrupt the Western nuclear family, husband and wife, and it's evil. Amen. And the church said, amen. So, church, we got to stand. You got to say, man, that's just wrong. Hey, I love you. I care about you. Here's one thing. I want to tell you what I was trained to do. What are you for? And I think that's good. Jesus talks a lot about what he's for, and I think we should be for. But sometimes we have to be against something. Did you know that? Yeah. Sometimes you have to take a stand. The one thing about it, do you want somebody to be truthful with you, or you just want to just be a politician? They come in and shake your hand, and then they run down. Yeah, Charles, let's agree with you. And they disagree with whoever they're at in the room. I want you to be true. I want you to be a real deal. Just go, you know what? I disagree with you on that. I want to be polite. I want to be kind. I want to be gracious. Like this whole thing going on right now. Well, anyway, I think our country's lost its ever loving mind. Yeah, here you go. So, I'll get back to here's a word. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Look there with me real quick. Proverbs chapter 8. We're doing a Proverbs challenge, three of us. Maybe the rest of you join us. Okay, here we go. Proverbs chapter 8. That's a little, I poked you a little bit. Here we go. All right, look at Proverbs 8, verse 10. Choose my instruction rather than silver and knowledge rather than pure gold. For wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. All who fear the Lord will... Did it say they'll embrace it, they'll like it, they'll lay down with it? That's not what it said. It said they'll hate it. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech, common sense and success. Wait a minute. Did I read that in my Bible? Wait a minute. What does verse 14 say in your Bible? Counsel is mine. What else does it say?
Sound wisdom.
Mine says common sense. Do you think America's got more common sense or less common sense? Less. Common sense and success belong to who? To God. Insight and strength are mine. Because of me, the kings reign, and rulers make just decrees. Rulers lead with my help, and nobles make righteous judgments. I love all who love me. Those who search will surely find me. I have riches and honor, as well as enduring wealth and justice. My gifts are better than gold, even the purest of gold. My wage is better than sterling silver. I walk in righteousness and paths of justice. Those who love me inherit wealth. I will fill their treasuries. Wow. God promises blessings, and he'll give us wisdom. James says, if any woman lacks wisdom, he should ask God, and he will give generously without finding fault to all that ask him. All right, let me ask this. Zach, you and April, I like to pick on y'all. Y'all be in the medical field. I know y'all are highly trained, but do y'all ever utter up a prayer like, I am clueless? You don't tell your patients this. I am clueless on this. I need wisdom. You ever pray that prayer? Okay. All right, Melinda, you run our pro-life agency here, First Choice. I love that. She said, well, she keeps all the books and everything. She's so smart. Have you ever been doing the accounting in there and went, we have a mess? Houston, we have a problem. Have you ever, all the time, and you've had to ask God for wisdom. Have you ever, Corey, you ever asked God, I don't know what to do in this situation. I need help. I pray that prayer a lot. You ever pray that prayer? That's a biblical prayer. Ask God. God is the source of all wisdom. So therefore, I set you up. You know what our church is now going to do, Teresa? Our church is going to start reading Proverbs together. Please don't make me a liar next weekend. Come on. Let's all read it together, okay? Because next weekend you're going to bring your mama if she's still living. If not, you'll be thinking about your mama like, ah, I love wisdom. I love mom. How many of you think your mama was wise? Yeah. How many of you thought your mama was wise when you were a teenager? And that's what I thought. How many got to live and repent? Yeah. It's like, man, I'm so sorry. I remember when our daughter called us one time and said, I'm so sorry that I gave y'all such a hard time about blah, 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 blah. And we went, ha, 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 ha. No, we didn't do that. Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, you know who the smartest person in the world is? A 17 and 18-year-old. You know who the dumbest person in the world is? An 18 or 19-year-old kid that goes off to college, and they realize they got to start over. Hey, you want to be dumb? I tell you the greatest way to get dumb. Watch the news 24/7. Just watch it 24/7. It didn't say not be informed, but just, okay, I'm man. I know today you're going, man, you're so controversial today. We have these people from Colorado. You should have done something on the attitudes. Let me tell you what you're going to learn. I hope y'all come back. I am very transparent, very honest, and I'm a man of conviction, and the church said. Amen. Yeah. So I'm like, well, yeah, I really wonder what he was thinking. I'm like, well, yeah, well, just ask me. You know, I ain't smart enough not to tell you. Okay, here we go. All right. Here it is. I just wrote my notes. The church is confused today. So God help us. Let me tell you what I learned in the 2024 election. There's 34 Senate seats up for re-election. There's 11 governors up for re-election. There's a president up for re-election, but this is one I was astounded by. 64 nations are up for re-election in 2024. That in itself should make you cry out to the God of heaven. Help us. Do you think 64 leaders changing can change a situation? You bet. Do you think one leader in a country can change a nation? Do you think multiple leaders in a nation can change a nation? Yeah. Do you think you can change? Sure you can. You have the power. You have authority. Okay, so, all right. So we need the word because the world's gone off rails. Here, right in the middle. Oh, man, I could preach for another hour today. Somebody said, come on. Well, if somebody had brought Cinco de Mayo tacos and stuff in here, well, you could have just reached on your seat and had a taco and I'd have kept going. Here we go. About half of you would have walked out. All right, here you go. Look. I'm just kidding. We don't have any tacos. All right. Look under the box. In the box. Don't look under the box. Look in the box on the teaching guide. There we go. We all need a prophetic perspective on life. And everybody said,